Hello everyone and welcome to our latest webinar and podcast in our new format of Charity Pulse. So my name is Catherine Rastomji, I head the charities practice at Shakespeare Martineau and I'm joined by my co-panelists, regular appearances now, I think the three talking heads as we are, so James Saunders from More Kingston Smith and Charles Mosquita from Quilt Achieviate. We have had an interesting couple of weeks, I think, since our last recording and have covered a number of topics. I suppose I'm just going to cherry pick and see which topics grab us and what we want to talk about. But in particular, I think we've been seeing more of coverage around what's the future for charities in 2024? What's their role? What's that going to be moving forward? And almost how are they seen? Whether that's general election coming, whether that's parties wanting to get support from charities, whether they are appreciating charities more and actually seeing them as a, you know, a valid part of our society and the role that they carry out. And also that engagement with local MPs. So there's lots of different touch points there, I think, with charities. But Charles, if I come to you first, possibly the pro bono economics piece you might want to pick up on.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, we hosted an event for pro bono economics, who had been approached by the Labour Party in, I think, around about November to have a summit with the charity sector. And Matt Whitaker very kindly gave us a sort of a summary of the conclusions coming out of it. I think what was really interesting is that Labour, if they get into power, have made a commitment and have been asked to be held account for to reset the relationship between government and charities. I think people shouldn't get too excited by it in the respect there's going to be more money because they're very clear about that. And I don't think they know yet about the detail because we asked a number of questions around, you know, would they look about how they fund charities and things like that. But I think what is really interesting is that one, the front bench were there, they were engaging in and it wasn't talking at. So I'm quietly optimistic that I think that if Labour does get in, I think that there will be a much better relationship than we seem to have had over the recent years. And the other thing which I thought was a little bit sad was that pro bono economics had approached the Conservative Party and they're to do something similar and they're still waiting for a response. And just one final thing I would say to you is that again Matt Whitaker gave a number of the I suppose the importance of the sector economically, and they come up with a figure, God knows how they get to it, of 200 billion, which is 12 times more than what the official estimate is, which is 17 billion contribution to the economy each year. So, I mean, the sector is a significant and important part of, you know, both economically and part of society. And I think anything that has a better relationship between government, business and charities must be a good thing.
Definitely. And it was fascinating, wasn't it, James? I mean, you and I were there. I think just hearing that figure, putting some, you know, as an economist, hearing him talk about, well, what is the value of the sector and how is it viewed by, you know, government, by politicians? But I thought there's some really interesting aspects that came out of that, James. I don't know if any points in particular jumped out to you.
Well, I think, as Charles was saying, only really that there's not going to be any magic money tree. And if anything, there's going to be even less money that Labour has available because their spending plans keep, or the good ones keep getting nicked by the Conservatives. So their plans are rather in tatters at the moment as well. The charity sector is going to have to do even more with even less, probably, as it comes to the next couple of years. I suppose the one saving grace is just this last week, we've seen a little bit of an improvement in the finances, the inflation rates coming down. There's signals of some interest rate reductions in the future. So all in all, the economy perhaps might just be a little bit better than we think it might have been in 6 months, 9 months. So perhaps that might move it a bit. I think there are other threats, though, for the charity sector coming in the future. And certainly in my line of work, specifically at the moment, cyber threats are, you know, just horrific. The charity sector is seen as a soft target. I think I've said this before. The charity sector is seen as a soft target. because of public money and details of private data, those sort of things. The education sector in particular is seen as a soft target at the moment. So any schools and academies and colleges, universities, all those organizations are really under threat. Cyber hacking is just massive, that it moves so quickly. You know, no sooner have you identified a potential threat as an auditor or trustee than the hackers seem to be one step ahead. So there's that. And then there's all, you know, you throw in all the challenges, but the moving parts around ESG and EDI and those sort of things. The other big threat really is an understanding of the charity sector. And at the moment, a twin attacks, if you like, from politicians, certain politicians and media. I think it's colouring the public's perception of charities at the moment. And that's another threat that is changing nature and seems to be a real problem for the next 6 months, 9-12 months, I'd say.
That's a really good point, James. And I think, you know, just that perception, isn't it, of charities. I mean, I was delighted when I heard of the summit that I thought, great, the Labour Party won't say ridiculous things about independent schools losing charitable status anymore if they were better informed. But I do wonder if that leads into the role of the Charity Commission, that yes, they are the regulator of charities in England and Wales, but they're there supposedly as the champion of the sector as well. And, you know, query, is it their role to educate government, to educate MPs, because they have, you know, at least a reporting line in there. Charles, I don't know if you had any particular thoughts there.
Yes, I mean, it's always difficult for a regulator, isn't it, in the respect of what their job is to regulate and keep, I suppose, some discipline around what we're doing and protocols and principles so that people can feel confident in charities. But yeah, because charities are so disparate in the number of different organisations, and because there's no really anybody who can represent them, I think the Charity Commission does need to be, and possibly needs to be more vocal on that. But I think it has struggled to do it, and one of the reasons is, of course, you know, it must be quite difficult. Is you're getting a barrage of complaints because that's the nature of the business. It's how you deal with that. But yeah, they do need to, I think, probably be more vocal in reminding people that, you know, generally it's, you know, people are volunteering. You know, that the purpose is out there. Yes, you're going to get some poor practice going on, and yes, you're going to get people abusing the system. There is nothing that they can do to stop that completely. All they can do is build a framework around it, and fundamentally, I actually think they do a good job in that. But also, I think they need to manage people's expectations around what it is they can and what it is they won't be able to do. And then the final thing, of course, is that, you know, they've had their funding cut. I mean, I think it's halved over the last 15 years, so they've had to do more with less, and that's despite the sector becoming, you know, getting bigger. So it's never an easy role.
Although, Charles, they are a bigger department in terms of numbers than they were. So there's more of them to do it.
Well, the amount of money is certainly in real terms has halved.
I think the point about regulator and champion, if you like, is a really important one. I think they've been a very good regulator, and I don't just mean, you know, they, in terms of discipline, they've actually been useful. They've been positive. They have been helpful. I think, you know, they've struggled with the champion side, understandably, in a way. They're two very, you know, almost conflicting roles, really. It's very difficult to be one while you're being the other. So I think the champion one is the sector has got to work out how to represent itself better, more universally. And the reason that it's very important now is, the last two major new governments, so the Blair government of 97 and the Cameron government of 2010, they both had big charity-focused initiatives, fresh-faced initiatives. The Compact for Labour and the Big Society for the 2010 Cameron government. This incoming potential Labour government, if that's how it pans out, will similarly have a brilliant approach to charities in the first couple of years before all the ideas get beaten out of them, frankly. It's the pattern that's gone on recently. the sector has to take advantage of any initiative, any enthusiasm that a new government has in the first couple of years for the charity sector. It's got to take some responsibility for making it happen itself, the sector, and not just say, well, we had some positive vibes from the government for the first 2 years, but then nothing happened.
And I think it is pushing it back, isn't it? Because we have talked about umbrella bodies before, you know, who speaks for the sector, and nobody does, but it doesn't mean that nobody should. And I wonder with the new chief exec coming for the Charity Commission 1st of July, with a general election, that there is an opportunity there for charities to get their clear messaging across. Charles, were you trying to jump in?
Yeah, I think Orlando has Orlando Fraser, the chair of the Charity Commission, I think has started to do that. And I think he's been, because there've been a number of people challenging what he said, and I think he's gone out there, and I think he's been quite brave, because it would be easier for him not to. Yeah. And so I think he should definitely continue doing that, and we should actively encourage and support that, even if we don't agree with what he's saying. I'm just going to pick up on one of the points that James made earlier. Is I know that we're facing a lot of headwinds, and I think it's very easy to get. Quite down about it, you know, cost of living crisis, charities have been squeezed, inflation, everything else. But the one thing that has always amazed me about the charity sector is how quickly it adapts and embraces the change and then recodifies itself to be able to do that, so that ultimately, where possible, it's benefit that your beneficiaries are not disadvantaged as a result of it. And you think about COVID, you think about the fundraising scandal, you know, there are numerous things, safeguarding, everything else. I mean, yeah, these were terrible events and everything else, but however, very rarely does anybody point out actually how quickly that the sector, you know, put on the hair shirt, beat themselves up about it, and then did something that was productive and actually moved it forward. And I can't think of any other area of life where that happens quite with the same openness, willingness to engage with that. So I think we should applaud and feel quietly confident that charities will adapt to whatever the landscape is.
Definitely. I think there is that piece, isn't there, that charities don't get credit, I think, for what they do. And at the moment, I think just the point to finish on would be, I think there is more of a pushback against charities now that they shouldn't be critical, whether that's of their funders, whether it's of government, whether it's of society or failings in general. And I suppose we're starting to see more of a reference to civil society. I'm not sure I love that phrase, but yeah, if the charity sector, we're talking about civil society. And I suppose from that, there is this query that has been raised in some circles about, should charities always be civil, and are the two things the same, and is there a difference between being polite in terms of campaigning with a clear message, but you know, how does this balance, how do you strike that balance? So I'll throw it out to the two of you, whether you are civil, polite, or something else.
I think you should be civil. Professional, I think, is probably, you know, the right word, if you like. It's not that's, you know, you've got to be robust in when you're challenged, and when you want to challenge other people, but professional. I mean, that's the trick with the sector as a whole. It's slightly difficult because there is that overly personal involvement with charities. It's always that same argument about, you know, paying trustees or merging charities. The personal investment that creates and encourages and perpetuates charities is not something you want to knock out, and it's not something that you can easily tap without the intention of the people making the effort. So that, I think, is the difficult tension there.
Yeah, I think civil is the wrong word. I really do. People feel passionate about something. That's what really changes. And sometimes you do have to be uncivil in it. I think as long as you respect other people, and I'm not quite, that's a difficult line to tread, I accept. But no, you know, things don't change. If you see an injustice and you feel passionate about it, that sometimes means you're actually going to have to be I suppose the language becomes quite emotive, and some people will take offence to that. And there's nothing you can do. I mean, that's the whole thing about freedom of speech. But I think you can do it in a way that is respectful of and being prepared to listen to what other people have to say about it, and that you're not always right.
Perfect. Well, on that note, James, Charles, thank you. Another useful chat, I think, in our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the sector. And we would really love to listen, hear from any listeners in terms of feedback, comments, things you strongly disagree with. Also, any suggestions for other topics or things you might like us to discuss on future episodes. But thank you for joining us, and hope to see you again.